Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
First Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Notice, having a mind to suffer will arm you. Now, I went into this and I looked at the word mind. And the word mind means, in the original Greek language, the act of thinking. The act of thinking, consideration, meditation. He says that our mind should be that of a mind that is ready and willing to suffer. In other words, when we go through this life, you get up in the morning, don't have a mind that says, "Oh, everything's just going to go great today." No, you don't want to do that. You want to have a mind that is ready for the battles of life. Life is full of battles because we're in a war. And so we want to go into the battles of life with the right frame of mind. We don't want to go into it as though everything's just going to be a bed of roses. We understand that there's going to be some suffering, and we have a mind to do it. We have a mind to do it. And if we will, then the Bible says you will arm yourself. Arm yourself. To arm yourself is to equip yourself with weapons. To furnish with arms. You arm yourself with a mind to suffer. You equip yourself with weaponry. Well, if we're in a battle, we need weapons. Well, we need all the weapons we can get. So we need to have the right kind of thinking. And when we think right, we literally are equipping ourselves with weapons. In other words, what you think on can empower you with weaponry or artillery. What you think on. Think about this now. What you think on can empower you with artillery. In other words, everyone can have a spiritual CCDW license. A carry and conceal deadly weapon license. And we are supposed to carry some deadly weapons spiritually. We don't want to be caught in a situation where we don't have our weapons to be able to fight. And the way we arm ourselves with weapons, the way we equip ourselves, is by having our mind in the right place. Thoughts can be deadly. Thoughts can be deadly. Our thought life is an arsenal. It's a weapons warehouse for either good or evil. Notice over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Here he's talking about your thought life. And he's letting you know that your mind is the battlefield where you're either going to win in life or be defeated in life. It's right here. All is in the mind. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God," verse 4, "for pulling down strongholds." What are these strongholds? Well, he goes on to tell us there are strongholds in our mind. Strongholds in our mind. Verse 5, casting down arguments. You know, arguments start in the mind. You know, there's a lot of people, they go through the day not uttering a word, but they're arguing on the inside of themselves, right? And then you argue enough on the inside of yourself. You know, you ever get around somebody and all of a sudden, you know, everything, you weren't thinking what they were thinking. Everything seemed cool. And all of a sudden, they just exploded, right? I mean, you just seem like it came out of nowhere. Where'd this come from? And they just explode. They just explode on you or on somebody else, something like that. And you think, where did this come? Well, see, they were having all kinds of thoughts that caused them to eventually explode, to express what they were thinking. So a lot of times people, they're arguing on the inside before they argue on the outside. Their strongholds are in the mind. A lot of arguments can be solved by first thinking before we do any speaking. Before we open our mouth and talk, we need to think. Think, where's this going to get me? What's this really going to do for me? Am I really going to solve the problem when I say something and say something about this? Or is it going to make it worse? See, a lot of battles can be won without a word if we just address our thought life. See, thoughts are very important. Remember, your thought life, your mind is a warehouse for weapons. That's what an arsenal is. It's a warehouse for weapons. All kinds of artillery is stored up there. And it could kill and destroy your enemies as well as your brethren, your friends, your employer, your co-workers. You can kill and destroy with whatever is going on, whatever you allow going on in your mind. Because before a word is uttered, there's thoughts. Before there's actions, there's thoughts. Everything starts with your thought life. So guess where the enemy focuses on? And I'm talking about the devil or demon spirits. Where do they focus in on? Where do you think they focus on when it comes to defeating you in life or getting you entangled in some kind of sin or getting you to be defeated by them? Where do you think they focus? They focus on your mind. They focus on your thought life. They're coming after your thought life. They're not coming after your money. They're not coming after your marriage. They're not coming after this or that. They're coming after your thought life. Because if they get your thought life, then they'll pick apart every other area of your life. They come after your thought life. There was a minister, and he conducted healing school, and the Lord spoke to him and asked him a question and said, "What is worse than cancer on the brain?" So he got to thinking about it. He thought, "What's worse than cancer on the brain?" And he thought, "Man, that's pretty bad." I said, I don't know, Lord, what's worse than cancer? I don't know what's worse than cancer on the brain." And the Lord said, "Cancer on the mind." See, it's not so much the physical that's the problem. It's how people perceive things with their thought life. See, we can face any kind of weapon of the enemy, any kind of sickness, disease, or anything the enemy tries to throw at us if we have our minds in line with God's word. If our minds are in line with God's word, then we can overcome any kind of physical problem that we might face in life. But if our minds are in the wrong place, then it's not the cancer, it's not the disease, it's not the sickness, it's not the circumstances, it's the thought life that defeats you. So we have to get control of the mind, and thank God we can. We can have control of our thought life. So, again, we're talking about weapons. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," not fleshy, in other words, not fleshy, "but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Things got a strong hold on you. Has anything ever had or has a strong hold on you? Man, it's this addiction, this problem, this thing, it's in your mind. That's where the stronghold is. Now, you're acting it out and feeling it in the flesh, but the stronghold is in the mind. If you can get your mind right, then you can overcome whatever this thing that has a hold on your mind is doing in your life or causing you to do in life. See, it's all part of our thoughts. Nobody else is the problem. Nobody else is the problem. You know, you see in some of these foreign countries, you know, they got women walking around all wrapped up in black, and all you see is their eyes. And they walk around. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Because they're such holy, wonderful men that they don't want to lust. They don't want to lust. So to keep themselves from lusting, they wrap the women up in blankets. That's to keep themselves from lusting after beauty. No, see, the problem isn't the woman. The problem is your thought life. You got a dirty thought life. That's your problem. You're controlled by a dirty thought life. It's not the woman. She's not the problem. Get your mind straightened out, and the woman can go wherever she wants. And you'll have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Verse 5, casting down arguments. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Again, the knowledge of God, we're talking about thoughts. Thoughts. This is the knowledge of God. God's word right here. That's the knowledge of God. Put those thoughts in your mind. And when thoughts come that are contrary to God's thoughts, well, guess what? Those are thoughts that are exalting themselves above God's thoughts. What does he say to do with those kind of thoughts? Cast them down. Cast them down. How do you cast them down? By lifting up the truth. You lift up. You know the word. You lift up the word. Remember, God says to Adam, he says, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Without that, you're going to die. And the devil comes along. What does he say? You will not die. You will not die. He gives them these words. He puts these thoughts in their mind. You will not die. These are thoughts that are exalting themselves above what God said. God said, you'll surely die. You're not going to die. Now today, in a lot of cases, it's the exact opposite. Now, you know, God says, you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And the devil walks around and says, you're going to surely die. You will surely die from that sickness. You will surely die from that disease. You will surely die from this. You're going to surely die at this age. You're going to surely die. He tells Adam, you're not going to die. God says, you're going to die. He says, you're not going to die. Now God says, you surely are not going to die. And the devil comes on and says, you're going to die. These are thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. What do you do with thoughts like that? You cast them down. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how the devil makes things feel. If those thoughts are contrary to God's thoughts, we cast them down. I said we cast them down. And we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, that's the battlefield, man. You need to go out and take some hostages. Go out there and capture some folks. Capture some thoughts. Bring some devil thoughts into captivity. Don't let them just run wild. A lot of people just let the enemy run wild. No, man, if you can't kill them, capture them. I can't stop these thoughts. All right, so you're having a tough time killing it. Well, bless God, capture it. Put it behind bars. Lock it up. Now, you know, if it's locked up, you might still have to hear it. You know, the thoughts, because they're right there, you know. They're locked up, and you can hear the prisoners. Yeah. They're still, yeah, but they're locked up. Relax. What do you mean? Well, that thought is under control. That thought does not dominate me. That thought does not control my actions. Those thoughts don't direct my steps. They don't rule over me. They don't govern my life anymore. They're locked up. I got them captured. I hear them. They're buzzing. Yeah. Someday I'm going to kill them. As my faith gets stronger, I will step on their head and crush them. Right? Isn't that what he said? The Lord said, he said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So right now he's under your feet and you hear him. Nyang. But you just remind him, yeah, but you're under my feet. You've been captured. You are under my control. I've made you a captive of the word of God. The word dominates my life in that area. So we don't get uptight about temptation. We don't get uptight about feelings and thoughts and things that come that are contrary to God as long as we dominate them. But we do not let them just run wild. We don't just let them take pot shots at us. Are you listening to me? We don't act like it's just not important. No, we deal with it. I said we deal with it. Adam should have dealt with those thoughts that the enemy was sowing, but he didn't. Adam was silent. He didn't say anything. And his wife yielded to this thing, and eventually he yielded because he didn't say anything. If you don't say, if you don't answer the devil, you're going to end up yielding to the devil. You got to cast down his thoughts by answering him. You got to shoot back. He shot something at you, shoot back. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Speak the word of God. Speak the truth. Speak the truth back to him. Put him in his place. That's what Jesus did when the devil came and tempted him. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus ignored him. Jesus answered him not a word. Is that what it said? No. And Jesus answered him. That's what it says. And he said, it is written. Right? And he took a shot right back at him. And then he took a couple more shots at him. And by the time it was over, just about three shots later, the devil was gone. He took off running until he was able to recover from that. And then he would try again. But thank God, Jesus shot back. You got to shoot back. It's your protection. Because when you shoot back, you strengthen yourself and you lift yourself above the enemy. But if you just listen to it, eventually you're going to be overcome by it and start yielding to it. And it'll beat you in life. And you don't overcome the enemy by just speaking positive things. Oh, everything's going to be just great. I just know everything's going to turn out just fine. I just know it's good. You know, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. It's just going to be good. And I know it's going to work out. How do you know? I just know. I just know it's going to work out. You know, God's good and everything's great. And it's just going to work out good. Good. Can you give me something else? Do you have any ammo up there? Do you have any word you can pull out? Do you have any scripture to be able to deal with this situation? Speak the word. It is written. Somebody say, it is written. See, that needs to be something that comes out of our mouth quite often. It is written. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Praise God forever. I got angels all around me. And they're bigger than the devil. The devil's under my feet. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. You got to speak the word of God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. By whose stripes you were healed. I mean, you got to speak the word of God. You can't just speak positive, nice things. That's not what's going to do it. I mean, this is serious stuff. This is warfare. Put the right thoughts in your mind. And then speak them out with your mouth. And that's how you'll overcome the enemy. You must protect your mind at all costs. Don't lose your mind to anything or to anyone. You gotta watch about your mind, where your mind goes. Don't just let it wander. Don't let your mind get all focused on negative things. Watch what you allow into your mind. You know, you got people today, you know, they go to these mind guys, these hypnotists, you know, say, help me quit smoking. And they stand in front of a guy and he messes with their mind. Don't let anybody mess with your mind. Don't let anybody mess. You don't give your mind to anybody. You lose your mind, it's over. The enemy's got your life. You got to protect your mind. People put all kinds of drugs in their mind. You know, I just like to drink a little bit. It relaxes me. And my mind gets a little swirly. You're opening the door to the devil to just totally destroy your life. You gotta guard your mind. You can't let your mind go neutral. Go off into la la land where you have no control over it whatsoever. That's a dangerous place. You know? I understand some people, you know, they get forced into that, you know, because of a medical condition. And they go under and they have drugs put in their body and their mind goes blank. But man, if you can avoid that, you avoid it at all costs. If it has to be, fine, but bless God, do whatever you can to keep control of your mind. Don't let anything have your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 3, it says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice that. Minds can be corrupted. Christian minds, because that's who it's being written to. That's the Bible is written to believers, right? Born again believers. He says, I'm concerned that it just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, again, where's the devil going after? What's he going after? He's going after people's minds. And so here he's talking about minds being corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. You know, things become so complicated. The devil tries to make everything about God complicated. So it's not complicated. But religion complicates things. The devil complicates things. But with God, it's very easy. Only believe. Know him and believe. Why is that so hard? Because the devil makes it hard because he lies. And he puts thoughts in people's minds that make easy things difficult. Hard. Complex. But we got to protect ourselves from all that and keep it simple. Keep it simple. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. Don't let the devil create confusion in your mind and make the word of God all complex and difficult and God is so hard to find. Now, when it starts feeling difficult and seems like God's a million miles away and things just don't seem to be connected, well, bless God, just come right back to he loves me. Jesus died for me. He'd do it all over again if he had to. You know, God loves me. He took my sins. He took my sicknesses. He took my diseases. You know, just stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about what he did for you. Think. Stop thinking about what he did for you. Set your mind on what he's done for you. Oh, man, I'll just pull you right up. It'll just lift you right up. But you keep thinking about you, and I didn't read my Bible, and I don't know, and I didn't feel like, and I just tell you the truth, I didn't want to be at church tonight, and I worked all day, and yeah, and me, and I will turn into I. So don't keep doing the I, me. Just get your eyes on him and what he said. No, wait, he said this. He said this. It's very simple. God said this, and I believe it. Childlike faith, right? Childlike faith. It's very simple. But again, Satan comes after the mind. He comes after the mind. Notice over in Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's go to verse what? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So notice he's talking about walking according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. You walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh, there is no condemnation. And then notice verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So he just showed you. Why do some people walk in the flesh and other people walk and live in the Spirit? Because of what they think on. He said, the guy that's walking in the flesh, I'm going to tell you right now why he's walking in the flesh. He has set his mind on the things of the flesh. That's why he's living out what he's thinking in his mind. His walking in the flesh is living out what his mind is thinking on. But the guy that's, you see him over here walking in the Spirit, he's living out what he's thinking on. See, again, it doesn't come down to your walk. It comes back to your thoughts. It comes back to what you're thinking on. He says the guy that's walking in the flesh, he's got his mind on the flesh. Simple as that. Before you freaked out, before you fleshed out, you thought wrong. You thought fleshy thoughts. You were thinking fleshly thoughts. So you could have stopped your actions back here. Don't get all condemned over your actions. Deal with your mind. Deal with your mind. Man, I don't want to do that anymore, and I got to stop saying that, and I got to stop going there, and I got to stop drinking that, and I got to stop doing this and doing that. And you're thinking about changing what you're doing. But that really isn't the answer. The answer is not changing what you're doing. It's changing what you're thinking. How do you think about people? You guys just can't seem to get along because you don't think right about each other. You don't think right about each other. You're thinking negative things. And so then, next thing you know, you're talking negative. You're treating each other negatively. You know, somebody just comes along and they just give you a nice big fat attitude. Right? A nice big ugly attitude. You think, where'd this come from? I'll tell you exactly where it came from. It came from the mind. That's where it came from. No, it came from what you did. No, it came from how you thought about what I did. And you're thinking about it way too much. Think about what Jesus did. Stop thinking about what I did. And I'll stop thinking about what you did. We'll just think about what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He forgave you. He forgave you. He forgave me. That's what Jesus did. Say, what do you put your mind on? Bible says, perfect peace to those whose minds are stayed on him. Is that true? How do you have a peaceful life? You go on a lot of vacations. No, how do you have a peaceful life? You keep your mind on him. Because you could be out there on vacation tormented. You could be out on a vacation just as frustrated and anxious and just as much as a mess as when you're back at home. Because wherever you go, your thought life goes. So we got to clean up the thought life. See, it's all on the thought life. Get our minds straightened out. Praise God. Get our minds straightened out. If we get our minds right, we'll walk right. If we get our minds right, we'll talk right. Got to keep our minds stayed on him. What do you mean? Stayed on the word. Stayed on what he says. We keep it on what he says. Well, what does God say about it? I'll just tell you how I feel about it. It doesn't matter. What does God say about it? What does he say about your circumstances? What does he say about your situation? That's your problem. That's why you're having outbursts of wrath. That's why you're frustrated. That's why you're depressed. That's why you're anxious. That's why you're struggling. That's why you got all these things going on. Because you have no, it is written. You need to say, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And you stay with it. I don't care if it feels like you're in a wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't care if you feel like you're being bombarded by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. You stay with it, and it is written, it is written, it is written. That's all I got to say about it. That's all I can think about. I think about Jesus. When I get up in the morning, I think about Jesus. As I go through my day, I think about Jesus. When stuff goes on in life, I think about, what does the word say about that? What does the word say? A lot of times, it's just automatic. The word just comes up when you think about stuff. It's just a part of my thought life. It needs to be a part of your thought life. You gotta just make it a part of your thought life. You know, it's just a reaction to things. And if you miss it, the word comes back up and takes care of that too. If you do something haphazardly, you miss it, you do something. You got fleshy in your thoughts. You got fleshy in your actions. Well, the mind should jump right in there and fix it too. A mind full of the word will do that. So we just fill our mind up with good things. Keep our mind on good things. Focus. Everybody say focus. Focus the mind. Focus the mind. You got to focus your mind. So again, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's why they live according to the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, we could say, set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. The way you think can be deadly. Deadly. Your thought life affects you way more than you know. Here he's letting you know to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Whoo, glory be to God. I like life and peace, don't you? Well, he says it all goes back to the mind. You're going to enjoy life and peace. How? By being spiritually minded. You're going to experience turmoil and frustration and anxiety and confusion and exhaustion and all kinds of trouble emotionally, mentally, physically, in every area of your life if you're carnally minded. We can't afford to be carnally minded, man. It's death. We got to take that seriously. I can't be carnally minded. We got to have that attitude. Because the carnal mind, and then he goes on verse 7, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It hates God. And God hates it. They are mutually opposed to each other. That's what it's talking about there. It's enmity against God. Because it is not subject to the law of God, which is the law of faith. The law of faith. Nor indeed can be. You can't fix the carnal mind. You just got to abandon it and have a spiritual mind. See, the world, they'll tell you to go to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist will sit there and will massage your mind with words, and we'll go back into the recesses of your brain, back to your childhood, and we'll go back in there. We're gonna fix your thinking. He's saying the carnal mind can't really be fixed. It's going to kill you. It'll destroy your life. You can pretty it up, but it's death. Now, the world can get in there and they can play with the mind, you know. Like I said, clean it up a little bit, fix it up. But he says it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The only remedy is to be spiritually minded. He says, verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So he's letting you know the carnal mind is being in the flesh. The carnal mind is being in the flesh. Living according to the Spirit is being spiritually minded. Did you get that? Living according to the Spirit is being spiritually minded. The carnal mind, he says, is living in the flesh, which all starts out by, again, thinking on the flesh, thinking on fleshly things. Verse 13 of Romans 8, he goes on, he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Or we could say it this way, if you think according to the flesh. Because before you live it, you think it. We only live it because we think it. So in other words, if you live according to the flesh, or if you're carnally minded, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Well, how do you put to death the deeds of the body? Be spiritually minded. How do you get control of your body? How do you put to death the deeds of the body? With your thought life. By being spiritually minded. Be spiritually minded. If you be spiritually minded, you'll put to death the deeds of the body. You'll subdue the body. You'll stop the body from dominating your life. So your mind arms you with weaponry to put to death the deeds of your body. See, that's what weapons do, right? They kill. They kill. So it puts to death the deeds or the activity of the body. Negative activity, fleshly activity of the body. Just shuts it down. Shuts it down. So how do we do this? We set our minds on the word of, we set our minds on the word of God. Go back to verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. So there's a lot of settings for our mind. Our mind has settings. You got to set your mind, just like you set your alarm clock. When you set your alarm clock for a certain time, then at that certain time, that alarm clock goes off. But it goes off at that time because you set it to go off at that time. Let's say you wanted to watch the Living the Life television broadcast, but you know you're going to be at work. And I know this is really, everyone can relate to this. And so you set your DVR You set your DVR for what time? What time is that? 10 o'clock or 10:30? 10 o'clock, thank you. You set your DVR for 10 o'clock on what days? Monday through Friday. Yeah, that's right. You guys have been doing that. So you set your DVR for 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Some of you are writing it down. I see that. You set your DVR for Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. And then what happens? At 10 a.m., it turns on and starts recording. But it happens because you set it. You set it. Well, your mind has settings. And you need to set your mind on the right things. The devil wants to set your alarm clock. He wants to set your mind. He wants to set what you're going to think on. So that when you get into certain situations, this is what happens. You get in this situation and this gets turned on. You get into this situation and this turns off. And things turn on and things turn off and things happen because you get into certain situations, and this is what happens to you when you get in these situations. Because the devil's got you set. He's got you set. He's got his strife setting. He's got his evil-mindedness setting. He's got all kinds of settings, which I want to cover in this series on the mind. I want to cover these things. The mind is to be set. And so, number one, it needs to be set on the Spirit. It needs to be set on the Spirit. How do we do that? Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, he said this in John 6, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit. And they are life. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1. Actually, let's jump to verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So notice that. Having our mind in the right place, which here it's on God's word, will it transform your entire life? Think about that. What you think on can transform your entire life. What you think on is affecting your life big time. It's affecting your moods. It's affecting your feelings. It's affecting the atmosphere around you. It's affecting other people. Your thoughts. You're affecting people in this room tonight. If you got all kinds of negative thoughts going, you're affecting people. You're affecting the atmosphere. But if we can all get our mind on the right thing, and we are all affecting ourselves in the right way, woo-hoo, man, that'd be powerful. I said, that'd be powerful. There'd be some serious transformations taking place. Because a mind that is set on the word, on the Spirit, not just the letter of the word, but the Spirit of the word, a mind set on the Spirit of the word has a transforming effect on a person's life, on people's lives. Has a transforming effect on people. So if you want your life transformed, get your mind set on the word. Get your mind set on the word. And of course, having your mind set on the word is keeping it from being carnally minded. And so it keeps you from death. Keeps you from death. Keeps you from being defeated in life, being killed in life. But it will kill the works of the devil in your life. It will kill. It just won't kill you. It'll kill the works of the devil in your life. It'll put to death those lustful fleshly deeds of the body. It'll put to death those things, that behavior that's contrary to the word of God. It'll kill it, man. It'll kill the devil. So your thought life is killing something. It's either killing you, killing your neighbor, killing, putting to death the wrong things, or it's putting to death the right things, killing the right things. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your spirit. No. The renewing of your neighbor. No, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Have your mind in the right place. Wouldn't it be great if we just had a church full of people that had their minds in the right place? See, the problem with the world is that their minds are in the wrong place. And as their minds continue in the wrong place, they become more debased in their lifestyle, because they're debased in their thinking. Romans chapter 1, Romans 1, verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind." See, they didn't want to think on God's thoughts. Because if they thought on God, then it robbed them of being fleshy and doing fleshly things. So they just didn't retain God's thoughts in their mind. And so what happened? God gave them over to a debased mind. It didn't say God gave them a debased mind. He just let them have what they wanted. He said, all right, if you want to think on that, you can think on that. You know, God's going to let you think on what you want to think on. If that's what you want, he'll let you have it, even if it's bad for you. God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. And goes on. Nothing good there. And why all these things? Why are they full of envy? Why murder? Why strife? Why deceit? Why? Because they didn't retain God in their knowledge. Their minds became more and more debased. And that's why you see envy, strife, whispering, backbiting, slander, division, all these terrible things. Why do you see all these divisions? Because of the mind. The mind. So we won't whisper. And we won't envy. In other words, we won't slander. We're not going to talk about people's back. We're not going to do all these nasty things if we retain God in our mind. If we retain God in our mind, then we're not going to be given to that kind of behavior. Well, I was born that way. That's just the way I am. No, it's just the way you think. People got their minds in the wrong place, and that's why they're given to certain lifestyles. Given to sexual immorality and all kinds of perversion. But oh, thank God, you and I don't have to have a debased mind. We can have the same mind. We can have the same mind. We can be of one mind with our thoughts thinking on the same thing, which is God, which is his word. Then we're going to have tremendous unity. He tells us that over in Romans 12. Notice this is all Romans. I've kept it real easy for you tonight to turn in your Bible. Romans 12, verse 16, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind. There's a setting here. Here's T say, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Well, an opinion is made up of thoughts. So he's still talking about the mind. This is all about the mind. He's telling us, be of the same mind towards one another. Be of the same mind. Do not set your mind on high things. Watch what you set your mind on. Don't set your mind on high, haughty things that you are higher and better than everybody else. No, associate with the humble and relate to people. Identify with people. Understand where people are at. He says, don't go setting your mind like you're better than everybody else. He says, don't do that. That's going to cause division. So he's telling us we can set our mind on the same thing, and we don't have to set our mind on high, prideful things. See? The enemy's going to try to get your setting on high things. You're lifted up above everybody in your mind. Ugh. You ever see that before? Nasty stuff. People walk around, they got their setting on high things. Thank God we can reprogram that in our brain, right? No, that's not good. If that thing pops up, you know, sometimes you get in a situation, also that alarm goes off, the high thing goes off, and the haughtiness starts coming out of you. You got to fix it. Fix it! When you start exalting yourself by somebody, yeah, well, I, and you. We need to do some reprogramming. You're acting that way because there's something back here that's set wrong. So we need to get in there and we got to reset that thing. It's a setting. If you can get the settings right, you'll live right. You just got to get the settings right, man. I'm telling you. And then whoop, it'll go off at the right time, in the right way, the right thing will happen. You'll do the right thing at the right time when your mind is set right. And I mean, after I got saved, you know, I mean, and on for years, I mean, there's all kinds of resetting going on. Still you find stuff that you got to reset, right? You just got to just keep resetting stuff. Oh, Jesus. You know, there's some stuff that got set back here in 19 whatever. No, I don't have to go to a psychiatrist. I just identify it with the Word of God and I reset the thing to do just the opposite. Now, when you're in this situation, you do this. You do something like what the Bible says here. And it is written comes out. That's what comes out. And you just reset it. Praise God. It's very exciting. Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. Everybody say like-minded. This is a setting. You got to get your mind to think alike. That's something we got to work on. We got to be like-minded. Romans 15:6, he says, that you may with one mind and mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he put mind before mouth. Because before you speak it, you think it. But he says, that you be of one. So notice the same mind, like-minded, and one mind. This is something that's very important that we do. Now, 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn to it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Well, how's that going to happen? That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So he says, I plead with you that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Stop the fuss and the fight and the division. Get on board with God's plan. Stop being all divided and lifting yourself up against one another. How do we do that? What did he say? Be of the same mind. Get your mind to think right about one another. It's very important. Don't let your mind just, thoughts will go through your mind. See, if you just let your mind just float around out there, thoughts will come in to your mind about somebody. You know, I remember I was sitting with somebody, and this is years ago. We were sitting in a restaurant. We were on the second floor, and there was a bar down there in the middle, you know, a bar. And people drink alcohol, you know. And so I'm sitting up, you know, we're sitting up there, having this lovely conversation, you know, and things are beautiful. Mutual love and respect. It's just a wonderful thing. And then I saw a black dot. As I was talking to him, I saw a black dot go up and go hit him in the head. So I was just sitting there and I went, what in the world was that? And then I looked at them and their whole countenance changed. See, it was a spiritual black dot. It wasn't something you could feel physically. I saw it in the spirit. You know, that would be what the Bible calls discerning of spirits. I saw a black dot go right into his head. We're having a great conversation. And then within seconds, his countenance changed. And then all of a sudden, he got real negative and really kind of like haughty against me. And I said, hey, man, I just witnessed something happen here. And I told him what happened. I said, there was this black dot. Just came, I saw it hit you in the head. And then he started talking and thinking like that. I pointed it right out, and he recognized it right away. And it changed. Once he got control of that thought, he realized, well, this is demonic thinking. See, but he didn't recognize it was demonic thinking when it happened. that he didn't pick that up. We need to pick it up. That thing hit him. Woo, 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 woo. Devil thought, devil thought. Devil thought, devil thought. Clear the area, clear the area. I mean, that's what needs to be going on. He's like, he's unaware of it. But I saw it in the spirit. He just sitting there. And when he recognized it, when I pointed it out to him, because we had a relationship where I could just say something like that to him, he immediately pulled himself together. But see, now years later, you know, things happened. And our fellowship fell apart because of those kind of things that happened. You know, just exalting yourself up against your pastor, not thinking right. But see, he didn't recognize, obviously, later on in life, that's the devil. It's the devil. It's a devil thought. Cast it down. Take control of this thing. It's going to bring division. It's going to separate you from the plan and purpose of God for your life. It's going to separate you from life. It's going to produce death. Get out of this now. Don't entertain it. Don't wonder about it. That's what a lot of people do too. They think about it, and they think about it until they become convinced of it. Well, maybe. Well, where do you think this negative thought originated from? I got news for you. God don't just sit around and talk negative things about people. God's not going to walk up to you and go, Charlie over there has got bitterness in his heart against you. Now, why in the world would God say that to you? Charlie over there doesn't like you. Notice the way they look at you. Or they don't look at you anymore. All right, I'll keep my eye on that. I'll watch that. And then meanwhile, God's over there with Charlie. You see Agnes? She's got such an attitude against you. Can't you see that? Look at the way she's looking at you. And people think on these things. People actually think on these things. Christians shouldn't be thinking on these things. That's like walking out in the middle of a combat zone and bullets are flying everywhere and you're just kind of walking around. This is crazy stuff. You're going to die. You're going to get shot. You got to deal with this right away. What should you do if Agnes is lifted up against you? My God, pray for Agnes. Lord, help her, dear Jesus. Help her. I'm not offended by that, dear God. If somebody has a problem with me, I'm going to take the word to him. First of all, I'm going to pray for him, ask God to help him. Nobody said to pray for your enemies. That's how you turn the thing around. You don't just sit there and wonder about it and take offense to it and think about it. Think about it. What do you think their problem is? Who cares? It's the devil. We don't entertain those things. We cast those things down. Can you say amen? You can't cast the devil out of other people's lives until you cast down his thoughts in your mind. Once you be able to see Jesus, he was able to cast the devil's thoughts down in his mind in the wilderness. Then he went out in the power of the Spirit and started casting devils out of people. But first he dealt with the devil in his mind by saying it is written. Then he became a deliverer to others. How many are ready to get control of that mind like never before? If it's negative, do something about it. I don't care what they did. I don't care how they act. I just can't take it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love that, right? We say, I could, in church, we're like, I can do all things. I can do all things. And then we go home to Agnes. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can do all things. Somebody say, I can do all things. Because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And you're a blessing. You might not know that yet. And that's why we don't see that yet. But I don't go by what I see. I go by what I know. And I know you're a blessing going somewhere to happen. So let's talk that way. Let's talk those things. Let's think those things. Oh, it'll be such so peaceful. So peaceful. Because you think of what people are saying and doing to you. The turmoil, the strife. You think about the circumstances. Your life is going to be like a roller coaster. You'll have happy days. Hey, I got a raise. They fired me. I mean, it's just a roller coaster. That's not where we are. Perfect peace. Doesn't matter what's going on. I think one thing. What he says. What he says about me. What he says about my future. What he says about others. That's what I'm going to think on. And what we're going to have, we're going to have peace, and we're going to be armed with weaponry to be able to go out and fight the good fight of faith and cast out devils and defeat the devil at every turn of life. Say, I'm setting my mind on the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the peace already. Praise God. You know, it's like going into a hot room, turning the air conditioner on. Praise the Lord. I'll just cool everything down. Cool everything down. And he won't be a hothead. Why are people hotheads? Their settings are on 80 to 90 degrees. And it goes on at this time of the day. About 5:30 in traffic. Thermostat has a setting on it, you know. And things start heating up. And then you turn into a hothead. Cool it off, man. Somebody needs to push the button down. Just 79, 78, 77, 76, 75, 74, 73, 72, 71, 70, 69, 68, 60, 7, 65. Ooh, it feels good in here. Feels good in traffic now. Hallelujah! Come on, thank the Lord. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.